Hello everyone, my name is George. This is the third episode of the Classic Pinball Podcast. Dave joins us in 1 minute. This is the Pintastic Show, Part 2. In this episode, we have five segments. The Eric Stone interview, podcaster seminar review, late night pinball, Dave's Day 2, and something we call odds and ends. I'm here at Pintastic. This is George. I'm here with Dave. We're having lunch with none other than top 10 player, Eric Stone. Eric,
hello,
welcome.
Everybody. Thanks. Good to be here.
Dave wants you to tell the story of how you two met.
Oh, does he really? Well, I don't think he really wants
I really don't want that story told, but we can tell it anyway.
So, basically back in, I think it was 1999. Gosh, that was 20 years ago. Can you believe I've known you for 20 years?
Seems like yesterday.
Fun spot, and Walter Day was up there, and Twin Galaxies. They were writing down world records and whatnot, and I was up there playing a few pinball machines and trying to set some world records, and I met Dave, and he said, you know, I've got a really good collection at my house in Massachusetts. You should come see it. I said, all right. So I went down there one day, and down to Marlborough, Mass., which is about 2.5 hours away from Laconia in New Hampshire, where I live, and I saw his classic collection, which was amazing. And I would ask him, so what's the high score on this game? And what's the high on this game? And literally, you know, I would just kind of go down the line, one machine to the next, and say, okay, I got it. What's the next one? What's the next one? And then after that, we became really good friends. Right, David?
And then I was so tempted just to, you know, reset the high score and everything. Said, well, no, I can't do it. I'm going to take him down myself. But I'm still kind of working at that.
Yeah, that's okay. I mean, 20 years later, he's still working. I'm not too worried right now. So, but no, Dave's a great guy, and I mean, you know, he's restored so many great games, some old school games, and I remember that Kiss playfield that you painted, and boy, I mean, that just played like butter. So,
still have that game?
Do you?
No, well, let's talk about the old school game that was in your seminar this morning.
Evil
it actually
Knievel.
Helped me, yeah, right, Evil Knievel. It actually helped me win a game after your seminar.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Wow.
And Dave was just asking me.
Did it help you beat Dave?
No.
Okay.
No, I can't remember the podcast, but the guy's name's Matt. He's from, he's on Twitch, and he's out of Pennsylvania, Malvern. Okay. I forget the name of the podcast. Forgive me, Matt, but he was like, wow, where'd you learn that strategy? I said, Eric Stone.
And then I asked, I missed your thing again today.
Well, that's
Eric,
because you don't need, you know.
That's true. I don't really need the tutelage.
Right.
I'm,
yeah,
you know,
because
I'm kinda cool.
I wouldn't want you to start taking down those scores from 20 years ago.
Right, yeah, appreciate that. Thanks for you know, thinking of me. But I was asking George, like, well, Evil Knievel is so a simple game. What kind of strategy can there be? You know, maybe hit the spinner if it's greased up or drop targets?
Pretty much.
No, the spinner was not.
No,
not in this game wasn't.
No, that spinner, though, both spinners were actually horrible.
Like three spins.
No, one gave you 6 and one gave you 11 or 12.
Okay, well.
Still not Dr. Dave approved.
Spin forever.
No, not 30 or 40 spins.
Okay.
Basically, I said if it was like a Dr. Dave game where you were getting 30,000 a spin, that's all I would do on Evil Knievel. But I said, well, you know, You could go for the 11, 12,000 spin. That's not bad, I guess, you know, on a typical game. Otherwise, go for the drop targets and get your double bonus and transfer the ball from one flipper to the other. Usually with me, I would Schatz pass it, which is difficult on some of those older games, but you can't post transfer on that particular game. And, you know, you hit the drop targets down twice and you get an extra ball and start all over again. Max your bonus at 30,000 and get a couple hundred thousand on Evil Knievel.
Follow the lit spinner. That's what you told me.
Yeah, and, you know, that's a couple hundred thousand is not a bad game.
Center target, a sucker shot?
Yeah. What's the center target? Yeah.
There's a center target on that?
Spelling super. You spell super, right, with that?
Don't yeah. I don't know what it gets you. It might light a special.
Oh, maybe a special.
So someone asked me this seminar. They said, well, what happens if you spell cycle? And I said, I don't know. Let's try it.
Well, it's cycle.
Right? And I did. And I spelled cycle, and it lit the special. And, you know, and I said, well, I don't think it gives you much because I haven't really ever tried to spell cycle before, but let's try to spell cycle. I figured it would take forever, but...
Is that all it does, Dave, is give you the special? Do you know?
I don't know what the super does.
I haven't played the game enough. I own the game, but I haven't done it up yet.
Because Matt asked me the same thing. He goes, well, you know, Eric told you this part of the strategy. What did he say about this side? He goes, I said,
don't shoot it.
Right, leave it alone.
Basically,
right.
If I didn't say to go for something.
Well, sometimes you can turn these games into, especially the Bally's and even the older Sterns, you can make a novelty mode so the specials are worth 50K.
That's true.
Extra ball with 25K.
Right. Right.
If that's the case.
I mean, but the special's the outlane, and it alternates. So, yeah. I mean, that's pretty risky to try to get cycle.
Right.
And then, you know.
There's easier ways.
And I don't want to lose the ball for 50 grand. I mean, yeah, it would be worth it, I guess, but it's a lot of trouble just to get it lit. And then what are the chances of the three ways the ball could go down? It's got 33% chance it's going to go down that special.
The one thing that's a little shy on that game is the bonus. Don't you think the bonus should be a lot bigger on that game?
It's typical Bally mid-late 70s, 15,000. It's like Captain Fantastic.
That's 15,000, even
15,000 is the
eight
max.
Ball, no, 8 ball 15,000.
Well, no, Matahari 29,000. Embryon,
but now you're talking 1980.
Right.
At 77, it's Evel Knievel.
Right.
So you're saying early.
We're talking right.
Bobby O'Power play Matahari.
But we're talking.
Well, Matahari's 29.
Okay.
79.
Yeah. No, right. No, he's saying 29.
29 bonus.
Yeah, but wasn't it made after?
No, 77. Evel Knievel. Around the same time frame. Evel Knievel, I think, was first.
We're gonna have to look it up.
Yeah, it's very close.
I think that was
within months. I think
that was the transition. So, yeah, so you had the Captain Fantastics, the Evel Knievels, the 15 max bonus, Air Aces, which I think is...
Yeah, but some of those are EMs.
Right, so the first three, you got Evel Knievel, you got Blackjack, you got Matahari, were made in EM style and solid state style.
Right.
Yeah. But not many EMs.
Well, either way, eventually, you know, you've got the 29,000 max. Either way, you want to max the bonus out. Once you do that, shoot the drops, try to get an extra ball.
And no hold. There's no hold bonus on this early stuff.
No,
only
no.
The Paragons.
Nope.
Yeah.
Play every ball. Eric, I understand from the broadcast a couple of weekends ago that you folks are going to be holding the World Championships at, it's called the Asylum, right?
Yeah, it's called the Pinball Asylum.
The Pinball Asylum.
In Fort Myers, Florida.
And that's going to take place when?
Next June. It should be the first weekend in June. It's actually, they call it IFPA 17, IFPA 17, which is the World Pinball Championships. This year it was just held in Italy a few weeks ago. Last year it was Toronto.
Did you watch?
I watched some of it, yeah.
Did you see the game?
I didn't see the final
Ostermeyer?
Game. Yeah, I didn't see the final game where he got $3 billion on one ball to win on Dracula. That's something else.
I told somebody that I was about ready to shut that feed off. And then I remembered what Dave's friend PJ told me when we were at a tournament at Dave's house. He said, why do you keep letting that last ball go? We were in a flipper frenzy. I go, because it's not going to mean anything. He goes, every ball means something. Play the ball.
Right.
And Johannes, he stepped up and just crushed it. And if you haven't seen it, I'm telling everybody, spend 10 minutes, find the feed on Twitch. It's
or on YouTube. It's probably there.
It's
now.
Unbelievable.
Which game was he playing?
Dracula.
Okay.
Bram Stoker's.
But
Dracula.
He was behind by leaps, bounds.
I want to say
nobody
about,
ever thought he was going to catch it.
I want to say about
ball.
$3 billion. He was down.
Wow, really?
I think you're right. Oh yeah, no,
and
crazy.
He just turned it on. Somehow he just turned it on.
I guess he just made all the shots, and the feeds were coming back to the flippers.
I wasn't there, but just watching it, you could just feel how it was building and building and building, and then. Yeah, when he passed it, everybody just went nuts.
All right, so Eric, so right now you're live in the middle of the tournament right now, and you said you didn't do too well on the new Black Knight game, and you were kind of disappointed there, and you're tired. And so tell me a little bit what you just were saying, some other stuff about the playing right now.
Well, you know, I played Black Knight where I should have gotten easily 100 million. I can't remember a game that I got under 100 million, and I got 39. That was terrible, terrible, terrible. Then I played Break Shot, and got about $3.5 billion, which is right around the middle of the pack, and so I'm very upset. Yet somehow qualified number one.
You what?
I'd be dancing down the street.
I'm telling you, that's going to change because everybody's going to beat that Black Knight score, and a lot of people are going to beat the Break Shot score. So I don't think I'm going to wind up anywhere near that.
Right, but there's 2.5 hours to go. I'm guessing there's lines now, right?
There's lines, right?
But pretty much every time somebody plays Black Knight, I'm going to lose a point. Because everybody's going to get over 39 billion.
So where do you think the cut's going to be? How many points?
Oh, I'll make the cut.
No, I know you're going to make the cut, but I'm asking, what
right
do you
think? Right now, it's usually around 280-something.
Oh, it's that low?
I think, Yeah, and right now, well, the last I checked, I was 382. Let's see. I guess I'll hit refresh here. Oh, see, I lost the point. 381. But the good news is, well, Jason Wardrick's 377. The good news is third place is 355. So I do have a 26-point lead on third place. So that is, you know, I kind of like that because I want to get a bye. I've gotten a bye the last, you know, every year I've played.
Bye is to the first eight?
The bye, yeah, the bye cut right now is 345, and the total cut is 289, and it just keeps on going down. And it's going to, because people will continue to lose points in a Papa-style tournament. You have to play five games in a row and use all of those five games. So if you have a bad game, chances are they call it bleeding. It will bleed down to zero. I don't think I'll have any do that, but I think I'll have at least one go down to maybe 30, and another may go down to like 40 or 50.
Will you play another card?
Can't. No. The problem is the lines. There's so many people in this tournament. I'll pull it back up on my phone. How many people are in this? Last I knew, it was 135. Well, it said 131, but there's a lot of new people that came in today that haven't submitted. So I only had time to submit two tickets.
Wow. So,
really? Wow. Not bad.
Wow, considering where you were yesterday, that's great.
The pressure was on because, you know, as soon as I started my second ticket, I said, okay, if my first game is a bad game, I'm just going to pay another $10 and submit another ticket. And if that first game is a bad game, I was just going to keep paying $10 till I had a good game on my first game. But then I start with 24 million on X-Files, and that was second place. And then I rolled RoboCop. In fact, I didn't even realize when you roll RoboCop, it doesn't remember your score.
Oh, and wow.
I never told anybody when I got to 9 million. Next thing you know, I look at my score, and it says 1 million. And I cradled the ball. I said, hey, I rolled RoboCop, and Levy was watching me from sitting down, and he said, yep, I watched him do it. So I was like, well, thank God for that, you know. So anyway, I wound up with $14
million. And great. That was awesome.
That was by far the number one. The old number one was $8.5 million. So you know, I started pretty well. Then I played Fire, and I had a malfunction. And I had $1.5 million. And I was cradling a ball, and all of a sudden, the game kicked out another ball. So I cradled both balls, and I waited, and I wound up, they wound up taking a ball out of the game. I try to make one shot, it goes right down the side. And the problem is, that ball had to be locked again, and the other side was already locked. So the middle shot would have given me a multi-ball, but instead, I shoot the middle shot. It goes to the wrong side, and it kicks the ball out right down the out lane, and my game's over. And I said, oh, my gosh, you got to be kidding me. The kind of luck I get, you know?
Yeah.
So on fire, instead of getting $3 or $4 million like I usually do, because of that, I got two. And so that was a mediocre score, so I thought, oh, great. So then I put myself in a queue for Black Knight last night at 6:48 because I wanted to play it last night while I was on a hot streak. And by 8 o'clock, there was still somebody ahead of me, and they closed at 8 o'clock.
Oh.
So I had to play it this morning, and just didn't turn, you know, I just didn't.
Right, you're starting off right. Fresh, you're cold, you got to get back in the groove.
You know, so, I mean, sometimes I'm cold, and like, you know, during the finals up in Fort Myers, you know, I woke up, I went to the finals, and literally the first two games of the first round and the first two games of the second round, I won. And I didn't even need to play the third game on either one. So, you know, and sometimes I'm cold, and other times I get right into it and I start going crazy, you know. And I thought for sure I was going to kill that Black Knight. Oh, I wanted to get that $100 million. But then, you know, break shot, I figured, and the way I look at things is, if there's a game that I'm usually good at or I usually play well and I have a bad game, chances are the next game I play, I'm going to have a good game. So I look at the break shot, and I said, well, I got $622,000 yesterday. That's awful. So I'm due for a decent game. $3.5 million is okay. It's not bad. It's not great. But it gets me in there with, you know, 50 points maybe, or 60 for now. And it's like, you know what? That's all I really needed.
Who's
at
your
this time?
Yeah, who's the competition?
So who's around you? Who's around you for competition? Who's your real competitors that are close to you right now?
Well, obviously Bowen's here.
How's he doing compared to you right now?
I'm pretty sure he's got a bye. Let's see. Let me refresh this again. Oh, I lost another point. Bowen's in fourth. So it's 380. 377, 355, and he has 352. Right now, eighth place is 344, and the cut is 289 still.
So who are the top? Do you have the top eight in front of you?
Yeah. What are their names? Are any names that we would know? Or
yeah.
You know, we're all about dropping names here.
Jason Werger from Chicago, he's well known. Alberto Santana from New York, he's well known. Ed Jardina, I think he's in New York. Steven Bowden.
Yep.
Bowden's there. Okay.
Yeah. Mark Harvey.
Mark Harvey. He's from the Sanctum. He's a good player. He's a good local player.
Lewis Bevins, I think, is from Pittsburgh. And that rounds out the top eight. Then you got Chip Sexton. Chuck Webster is number 12.
Yeah, he's 13. Yep. Good player.
Zen is 15. Paul Karras is 20. Wow, there's a lot of names out here.
You got some people there. That's great.
Right, but I mean, like Josh Henderson is 42nd. He's not even in the mix. Greg Pavarelli is 41. There's a lot of good names in here. That Drew Sedolius, 31. Joe Judo's a Florida player. He's pretty good. He's 27. And so there's a lot of names here that I'm used to seeing in the top. Zachary Frey is another one. I played against him in the final of last year, if you remember. Ron Hallett, he's way down. So, you know, there are a lot of names that, unless, you know, they're submitting another ticket right now.
I was going to say, here we are, it's, you know, quarter of 12, 2 hours to qualify, and there's lines. I mean, it sounds like even if you wanted to play, you might not get your whole card in the next 2 hours.
I knew last night at 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock when I started my second ticket that was it. I knew I was only going to get one more in, and so sometimes I put this crazy pressure on myself that I know I need to go crazy. And when I do that, and then I start talking to the game, and I start mimicking the game, and I start acting kind of weird, then all of a sudden I'll just start blowing games up, you know.
Yeah, I like doing that too. I like talking to the game too sometimes. It kind of like, I don't know, it's almost like talking myself through the game and I kind of get...
RoboCop, I'm telling everybody you are arrested and people look at me like I'm crazy, but I am crazy.
So. Dave and I were invited to participate in the podcaster seminar. I'd first like to thank Dave Marston for being the host and kind of driving the bus for a while, asking questions of all fellow podcasters. We'll get that out. I'd like to thank Ron Hallett, Jeff Teolis, Mrs. Pinn, I guess her name is Sarah. I've never met her before, but seemed like a nice lady, and Jeff Parsons, who has a pinball podcast called Pinball's Players Podcast. It was very informative for us, given that we're brand new to podcasting, some great tips. More technical, not something that this audience probably is even interested in, but we needed to acknowledge those who were there. Dave, you have any thoughts?
Yeah, it was a great back and forth, a great collaboration of people with their different ideas they brought to the table about pinball and how they approach it and their passions and what they do with their podcast. And found that a lot of the people up there, they were mostly tournament player kind of podcasts, or maybe was it some manufacturing?
I would say all four of the people I just mentioned are definitely tournament players, and that I listen to almost all of those podcasts. They're tournament centric. They do talk about other news items and other things happening in the hobby. But they are, you know, there's some really good players there, and I think that's their primary focus. We're a little bit different. If you look at what we do, I mean, it's free flow. We're not professional broadcasters like the two Jeffs.
Yeah, the two Jeffs sounded really good. They got good pipes, and you can tell they just really do it for a living, and this is like a little side passion for them to do this part. And I like when Dave was going around saying, okay, how do you, you know, what's your podcast like and what's your central focus? Then when he came around to us, and I felt like we were the only ones that had our particular niche, which was great, that no one's really covered this part from a collecting aspect. And from back in the day, George and I have a lot of history with all these different games and perspectives, and it just is a different take on things. It's a fresh take. Not that their podcasts are wonderful too, but what I'm trying to say is that everybody has their own niche and their own audience.
Well, I think Dave was trying to drive home too that, you know, it might be bifurcated, that you have the technical people and the tournament people. And I make it a lot more universal. And I said this to Jeff Teolis afterwards. It's a big hobby. We're all connected by one thing, and that's pinball. And whether you like tournaments, you like restorations, you just like to play pinball, fixing them, there's something there for everybody, but everyone should keep in mind that we're all connected by the same thing and respect that. It doesn't mean you have to like the other aspects. Just respect it. That's all I look for. And, you know, we're going to give our comments, and some people might like them and some people might not like them, but it's just a comment. Try not to take it personally. I'll let you know how that goes.
I did like the one aspect when Jeff, and I forget how do you say his last name?
Teolis.
Yeah, Teolis. Jeff Teolis, when George said something right away, pretty quickly into it, and Jeff really liked what George said and said, oh, here, my friend. He pulled out from the bottom of the desk a big gallon of Fireball to do shots and some shot cups, and handed George a shot glass and filled it up, and they both did a cheer. So that was a nice moment of like, welcome to the podcast club, you know, with a shot toast.
After Dave and I had a long Friday doing all the interviews, Dave doing the best in play, we finally were able to play pinball starting at around 11 o'clock. Dave, I'd like your thoughts on a couple of games we played. I thought they were quite fun and had never played them before. The first one was Dracula, the Stern Dracula. Not the greatest looking game, but it played well and I did well on it. Your thoughts?
Well, just clarification, that's 11 p.m., not a.m.
Yeah.
And actually, I had to drag George's butt back to the show because he said, I'm done, I am burnt, I'm going back to our place. And I said, no, we'll go back to refresh. We got to play some pinball. I've been working this whole show. I got to play. So he said, okay. So I drug him back out there.
No, I'm glad you did, because we had some fun. But that was a fun game.
Yeah, that was fun. Like the Stern game was fun. It's actually... That's a nice player, especially if you dial it in a little bit. It's a nice playing game. I just those early Sterns, the Stern 100, we call them MPU 100 boards. They have that god awful soundboard, which
couldn't hear anything anyway. You couldn't hear anything, really, so it really didn't matter.
So we just got the play of the game, which was cool with the drop targets and that kind of thing. So it's a nice little layout.
I like that game. The Evil Knievel that Eric had used for demonstration in his seminar, we got to play. Nice game, except the spinners. I mean,
spinners,
it doesn't take much, and if you need somebody to give you a tutorial, it'll take about 30 seconds. Clean it, Teflon lube it, off you go.
Well, I'd also say you can adjust that switch on there for maximum revs, because spinners are meant to spin. In fact, with my restoration biz, I'm known for my spinners that spin, you know, perpetual spinners, spin forever kind of thing. So people like that. When you
30 spins versus a week five.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a fun game. How about I took Dave over to play Stampede, that Bali, right? Wasn't that a Bali game?
Stampede.
With the balls caught up at the top saucers?
No, wasn't it a Rawhide or something? Oh, no, Big Valley. It's
Big
Valley.
Oh, Big Valley. That's it. Big Valley. That's a weird game.
That's a weird game. I think it's like from 71. It's basically in the generation of Nippet, Valley Nippet, and that with that...
But fun. Very different. I mean, if you like a multi-ball game...
It's a multi-ball game, and you lock the balls up top there, and you do something else, and then releases the ball for two or three multi-ball.
We'll do a dive on that at some point in time. I mean, we have so many games. I mean,
unique
this opened up. This opened up the world. There are so many games. I'm so focused on my little niche. There's a big world out there. I mean, we played Grand Prix. I mean, I've heard people talk about that game. Dave was saying it's a tournament game.
And
that's a lot of fun, too.
It is. That's the Williams Grand Prix from, I believe it's 76, right around there, mid-70s EM. A lot of fun, pretty deep game for its time. And it's a blast to play. I can see why tournament players like playing this game.
Well, you also mentioned in one of the other segments, the Flash Gordon with the hard top on it.
Yes.
I played that. That was a fun game. Nice looking game. Person took some time there.
Yep.
What else did we play? Oh, let's go to a couple of the other winners. The Trade Winds game was just at the reverse wedgehead. That's a beautiful game and a fun game to play.
Yeah, I gotta play. I'm gonna play some. I'm going back today to play some more of that.
That's Surfer, great. another well done game. So I kind of focused on some of the tournament games from, or excuse me, best in play games. From what you were saying, I kind of got inside baseball, and he said, you know, you want to go over and play those games. Very, very well done. I'm forgetting games, but I played some other games when I had a couple of free moments during the day, but we were so wrapped up in everything else we were doing that time didn't allow for that. Is there anything that you might have played that, not with me, that you want to talk about?
I'm trying to think. I really didn't get to, when I'm going around best in play, the time is of the essence. There's so many games to go through. You know, I don't really get to really play a full game, enjoyable game. I'm basically just looking for things and critiquing things to kind of narrow things down. So the only time I really got to play games for real, you know, full games and really have fun with them was with you, George, and actually a couple of people we had with my wife, Maureen. And shout out to Bruce.
Oh, that's right. Well. Bruce played with us last night. That was fun. And Maureen. I look forward to it next year. New adventure, new place. If you haven't been to this show, you're missing out. It's a lot of fun. Totally different. I'm not going to do 19 Allentown references, but this is an entirely different show. If you like to play pinball, this is the show for you. Great show, Dave. I had a lot of fun with you and Maureen, and
it's a blast.
Hopefully, we'll get some results later on the tournament. It's always fun having people that you know to play with, and it was a great show. But it goes back to what we said in episode one. It's a room. We did more talking than playing.
Yes.
And it just happens that way. And Dave said this morning, and I said the same thing, our voices are just shot. This is Saturday morning, and I talk a lot, but I talked more yesterday than I probably talked in the last month.
And you got to talk really loudly, almost shout sometimes, so your voice gets kind of raw, and then, you know,
right.
You stay up late. And so I just had a big spoonful of honey and some warm water to try to make things nice again. But
I'm taking off. I'm not going to the show today. Dave's going to go to the show and play with his buddy PJ. Gabe did a great job. Thanks, Gabe, for the time and effort you put into the show.
Yeah, you can tell a lot of effort went into this.
Ghostbusters we played last night. Never had played that game, and that was, you said, a premium?
Yeah, that was a premium, and I've only played the Pro. I have a customer who has that game, and you know, he plays a lot of it, and I'm out there every once in a while and just doing a shop job on it. And I like the Pro. I've never got to play a premium, and actually the premium was actually fun to play. A lot more stuff on it than I thought there would be. A lot of different shots on it. So, yeah, that was fun. That was a fun little surprise for us to play that game. It was good.
On Friday, I had the opportunity to play some of the newer games. I played the Munsters, which I thought was fun. Even though I couldn't hear it, it was fun to play. I played Oktoberfest. I also had the opportunity to play Willy Wonka. Just so happens that when I did play Willy Wonka, it must have been around 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon, some people were breaking down a video rig. And it just so happens that it's the people from Extreme Cooler Talk. I want to personally thank Justin, Sam, and Anthony for the swag. I also want to mention Marty, who I guess is the owner or proprietor of a museum called the Pastime Pinball Museum, which is in Manchester, Vermont. 50 games set to free play, fun for all. So
we all had the opportunity to play the game together. What a bunch of nice guys. I'm hoping our paths all cross again. I want to thank them for allowing me to basically cut in and play with them. So we had a lot of fun. Sam and Justin were playing flippers, so all five of us could play at the same time. A shout out to all of them. A lot of fun. It's one of the reasons why I love going to pinball shows. You get to meet a lot of great people, and those are four of the finest. So shout out to all you guys. It was a lot of fun. Dave, I left you and Maureen about noon on Saturday to go to an awesome brewery down the road called Treehouse. What did you end up doing?
What time was that again? That was noontime?
Noontime.
Noontime, yeah. So we were still, let me think, what were they doing? We were playing pinball, I think, of all things, at a pinball show. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Saturday, because Friday was the best in play judging. And then, yeah, Saturday I actually got to hang with my longtime friend Paul, who I grew up playing pinball with, and played a bunch of pinball with him. Met another buddy of mine I was trying to hook up with the last couple days. Just met him on Pinside, Jason. His multi-ball maniac is what he goes by on Pinside, and a real cool dude. And played some pinball, did a lot of networking, a lot of talking, a lot of pinball playing. And had some great games, played a lot of cool titles I haven't played in a long time.
And, so did you stay strictly in the big room or free play area? I don't know what they designated as. Or did you go over into the vendor area or to the New Hampshire Pinball Club or all?
Hit it all. A lot of free play area. Concentrating more in having big... some of the older stuff that was in nice shape. Went into the vendor area to play a couple games in there, but mostly hung out in the free play and a little bit of extra ball lounge, and then just hung outside for a little bit and just, you know, shooting the crap with a bunch of cool guys that I met at the show. And it was really
did
really
you
cool.
get to play Black Knight Swords of Rage, or you had already played that before, right?
Yeah, I played a couple games at Allentown of that. I played Deadpool in Allentown. So, but I did wind up playing that stuff later. That's like later at night on Saturday.
Well, at least you got to play it.
Oh, yeah.
I completely. I didn't get to play either one of those games, and they were on my list.
So I didn't play Alice Cooper. That new game.
I didn't get to play that either. I didn't even see where that was. So I missed, you know, Friday got so busy with all this. This takes a lot of time. And I know we didn't do it until late in the day, but just, you know, time ran out. One day is not enough, at least for me, to do that pinball show. I missed a lot of stuff in the vendor lounge, even though I got to play a couple of the games. I didn't get to play the two I just mentioned. I wish I did. With three, actually, along with Alice Cooper.
I basically wanted to play, you know, my buddy Jason really wants to buy a new game. He got rid of, he had like five or six, and he said, well, you know, what am I doing about 25 grand worth of games? I should just sell these things and pay down my mortgage. You know, smart man. And then lately, a couple of years later, he said, you know, I need a new game again. So he's asking me what I thought. You know, he's thinking, you know, Black Knight, you know, Swords of Rage or Deadpool. And at first I was leaning towards Black Knight because I played it and I really liked it a lot. Deadpool's cool too. But after playing them again at the show in the vendor area, I'm really lean more towards Deadpool now because Deadpool's a cool game. It has all these Williams sound effects from the early 80s, from a lot of the video games from Williams.
Right.
It incorporates all these really nice sounds. So it's a very much a blast from the past. The video mode on it in the background has like a Stern arcade from that time frame. It has a Sea Witch back there, a Berserk, and I think a Frenzy that the guy Deadpool's playing and so forth.
So it has a good blast in the past, great humor, and good and really good gameplay. So I told him now it's like, forget about Black Knight, go Deadpool. So he's going to be grabbing one of those down the road. But I really enjoyed that game for one of the new games to play.
You know, we need to talk about something that everybody's probably wondering right now, which is, what about the tournament? We had the phone call, if you recall, from, I know this is a couple of days after the show, but we had the phone call from Eric, and we haven't given a tournament update as to what actually transpired. Do you want me to go through that?
Yeah, go for it.
The tournament finals were played late on Saturday afternoon, and our man, Eric, made it into the top eight. Unfortunately, Eric did not make it past his first game, and he ended up coming in fifth. Our fellow podcaster who we met the night before, Jeff Teolis, took fourth. Some guy named Karens came in third. And then this guy from San Francisco named O'Neill. You know, I know somebody named O'Neill, and I just can't put my finger on it, who that is.
Yeah, I won. I won the whole thing.
Well, you don't look anything like this guy because
I was incognito.
I don't know his first name, and I apologize, but have you ever heard of Free Gold Watch in San Francisco?
No. Uh-uh.
Free Gold Watch is an arcade / print house. They do t-shirts. So you're playing t-shirts in a print shop. You're playing pinball in a t-shirt shop.
Oh, that's interesting.
They have some great games and they have some great players there. I mean, that's a San Francisco is a pretty big stronghold as far as players go. I believe that's where Raymond Davidson is from. Obviously, this guy O'Neill is from there. But he was the winner. He's number two. I gave him too much time. Number one was Stephen Bowden. And you're going to love the three games that they played for the finals. Played Black Knight, Master of Doom. No, what is it again? Swords of Rage.
Swords of Rage, yes.
Master of Doom. Oh, my God. Anyway, that was one game. Yeah, I'm going to continue to butcher that game up.
That's right.
Can we come up with some kind of acronym so I don't butcher it every time?
I got a really cool name for it, but I probably can't say it.
No, please don't. Please don't. We've done really, really well without. Anyway, Hocus Pocus was game two, but the final game, and he swept all three. Frontier. He ended up with 400,000 on Frontier. So it was a great final. It was fun to watch. They definitely. You would think we were in some third world country the way the internet worked at Surbridge.
Awful. That's what everybody was saying. That's the theme.
Everything bad, awful. The drops. it was crazy to watch the finals, only to be interrupted like 19 times. And it worked, but it didn't work well. So hopefully, change of venue next year. They'll have a much better internet infrastructure to broadcast.
Oh, big time! I can a little bit of point on that. The guys in Pentastic, the crew behind the scenes, the network guy, he had to bring in his own network and set it up behind there to kind of boost it up because the hotels wasn't good enough. It's old and crappy, and even with that, he had some issues. Because of the hotel, you know, just like technical issues, and he had the hardest time getting it going. So he was really trying.
No fault of his. Is that was that the guy Mitch, or is this somebody else? I forget the name they kept saying. Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah,
I don't remember the person who was doing it. Hopefully next year a little bit better. Anything else you did on Saturday that you want to talk about, or did you even go on Sunday? I'm guessing no.
Didn't go on Sunday, but we actually stayed pretty late Saturday. Went out for a nice dinner, and again, great. Some of the people never met each other. I was with, but it was gelled so nicely. There was just I don't know, just a great bunch of people. You know.
No, I agree. It was, you know, there were people I would have liked to have seen that I didn't get to see. There were people I didn't think I was going to see that I did see. I think some of the gripes on pin side were valid. The one that I would say is, people, you're bringing a game to Pintastic or any other show, rebuild or do whatever you have to make the flippers right. At least you're part of the way there. So many games, weak flippers, just doesn't fly.
Because, you know, that is your interface with the game. And
no,
if those
I know,
don't
I know. And, you know, I learned how to do it. And trust me, if I can do it, anybody can do it. It's not that difficult. If you're going to own a game, you need to at least know how to keep your flippers going and keeping them strong. And it's mostly a cleaning thing. I mean, and the parts to do replacement, like a sleeve, you know, for 50 cents or, you know, 20 cents, whatever it is, it's a cheap fix. But enough of that. Enough public service announcement.
Sure.
Is there anything else that you want to talk about the show? I've got some, we talked about this. I'm going to call it odds and ends. I think you or Maureen had another name for it. If you'll indulge me, I'd like to do a little mop up with a couple of topics.
Sure, go for it.
Kind of unrelated. So, Dave, I want to answer the how many downloads. I was listening to Spooky today or yesterday, and they had one of their episodes on Elvira. Now, I don't know if she spoke or if it was a deep dive. I haven't listened, but they said they had over 10,000 downloads for that particular show.
Yowza.
And that they had only done it once or twice other than that. So I got the impression that people aren't getting a lot of downloads. It might be in the thousands if you're an established show. They've been doing it for a number of years, but I think we should be proud given we've been doing it a short time and it seems like everybody's enjoying what we're doing.
Yeah, we're something different. We're doing, you know, find a need and fill it. So, what a famous person always said, and I like that.
Right. So listening to Charlie and his son, Bug, I'm going to say this. Root for the little guy. They only do 500 machines a year. They said they're not going to do more than 500 machines a year. So compare that to everybody else out there. Like us, we're going to root for the little guy.
I'm happy with that.
So they talk about some other stuff, but we'll leave it at that. I have something else. I'll hope you'll indulge me for a couple of minutes.
Sure.
We're international. We have international listeners.
Right.
Well, yeah, they're north of us. There's probably two or three from Canada. But
okay,
I thought you would find that funny.
Good.
But I'm asking you to indulge me because I'd like to try to get some European listeners.
Okay.
Well, you're asking yourself, George, how are you going to do that?
Yes.
George, how are you going to do that?
George, how are we going to do that?
Well, I'm going to ask you to give me 2 minutes to talk about the IFPA Olympics 2019 that happened in Fulda, Germany a couple weeks back. But on Sunday, the 23rd of June, they had their four-strike tournament. You're asking yourself, well, what's the IFPA Olympics? Over 5 days, they did 11 different tournaments.
That's a lot, yeah.
So the last day was the more modern games. As you can imagine, it was kind of the, you know, it was the crescendo of 5 days. And the four people that made it to the end were Frank Bona from France, a young guy named Paul Englert from Germany, a guy named Nico Wicke from Germany, and then Emil Dreiberg from Switzerland. I just want to talk about the last game. So the last game came down to Frank and Nico
on high speed two. Frank went into the third ball with 256. I'm guessing it's 1,000 or is it million?
More. That's high speed two, the getaway. So that'd probably be million.
Okay. Million. I don't think they were doing really well on this game. So Nico comes up to do his third ball. He's behind by 20 million. He's got 236. Beefed it. 247, and Frank ended up winning. It wasn't a very climactic end of game or end of tournament. But anyway, Frank's a funny guy. I've seen him on a lot of tournaments. He does a lot of broadcasting. He can speak like 5 different languages. So it's always good to hear his perspective, and he's one of the top European players. But I wanted to focus on the young guy, Paul Englert, who I believe he came in third. Right. So Frank came in first. Nico came in second. Paul is 12 years old.
Wow.
You should see this. Right. Right. You should see this kid play. He's unbelievable. There's a couple of young, there's the other young German you heard us talking about the other day, Johannes Ostermeier. I think he's like 18. So you got these young bucks coming into the, into the tournament world. And I think that might be real good for pinball.
Great thing. Yep.
So thank you for indulging me. I'm hoping that this little segment will get us at least one European listener.
Nice. Way to go, George.
I'm trying to think if there is anything else that we need to discuss. Anything that you have that you want to talk about that, even if it's unrelated to Pintastic? I made a gaffe this week.
Okay.
On Pintastic, I called our podcast Pinfest.
Oh, no, you did not.
I did too.
Oh, boy.
And I didn't realize I did it. And then I get this email from Dave Marston. He didn't call me a bonehead, but he could have. too much going on, Dave. Trying too much to get us some listeners and just not paying attention to the details.
Yeah. Let's go back to the previous show, Allentown, and how you, I know if we talked about this before, you turned me on to Fa or Foe. And so, it would be great if they have a Vietnamese place up in the box, near the box for a new place. And so I'm always looking for the Fa that Allentown has. That's the best I've ever found. And Cerberus does not have anything around that I saw for Foe or Fa. It's an awesome Vietnamese soup. If anybody's wondering what that is, it's like, really cool.
Well, I have a better idea for our organizers, and hopefully they'll do it at least one of the days. Bring in the food trucks, line them up out in the parking lot. They did it out at the Texas Pinball Festival. Yeah, I know that's a gigantic festival, but look, bring the food to the people. Just put it in the parking lot.
I got even one. I'll go one better. Do the Deadpool taco or burrito truck that Deadpool likes. It's always that's a toy on the game.
I'm sure there is. When I went to Treehouse the other day, there was a, I'm hoping I say it correctly, Sopia. I'm sure that's Mexican. I don't know what that is, but they had a Sopia truck. They had a, what the heck did they have? They had a, what's the pea? Chickpea. They had some kind of chickpea truck. I don't know what that was about. And then some other barbecue truck. But, they had some different offerings. And, that place is just a circus. You've been there. Man, that place was just in full bloom on Saturday. And people walking out with cases, not six packs or four packs, cases of beer. You would have thought they were giving it away. I saw guys with two-wheelers. I saw somebody take their grandkid's stroller, and he had 4 cases of beer in it, and the kid was walking next to the stroller.
Well, you had priorities,
I, I thought I had seen it all, and that was quite entertaining. So we don't have that either up. I guess Hudson.
Maybe there is.
Hudson's close enough, I guess. It's not. It's within striking distance. You got a couple of microbrewers there. Not quite to the scale of that, but hey.
Medusa's there, you know.
So, I'm done unless you have something else you want to add to this.
Let's talk about the artwork for Pintastic, the different posters and the different glasses they had, and different artists. We had Joel de Guzman doing one, and we had
he had the print with the lobster, which was definitely pertinent to the New England area. And then you had Franchi with his space woman octopus thing, I guess that.
I don't know. I think people took that too seriously. I like them both for different reasons.
No, I do too. I bought the t-shirt, the Franchi t-shirt. But I'm saying, yeah. I think people made a lot more of it than it really was.
Yeah. Yeah. Too, you know, people go too uptight about the whole PC culture these days. And, you know, I just think, take a breath. You know, right. It's not that big deal.
I mean, is it as far as Woe Nelly? I don't think so.
No, you know what? It's on par for like Big Bang Bar. It's like, and I see Big Bang Bar in that, you know, and people are not part about it for that game. So, whatever.
A little tongue in cheek there, Dave, and a throwback to the old EMs and,
the
graphics from, quote unquote, back in the day.
That's probably what it resonates with me, because the classic, the Bally's and from the 70s, right.
We'll go into that in a later show, but yes, you're right. We're going to do a show on that and all the different instances and all the different games.
Sure.
There's probably at least 100. Gotta be.
Oh yeah, and there's all kinds of, even the Gottlieb back in the day, they got away with some stuff in the early 70s, mid 70s, and very subtle. And we can definitely go into that. There's tons of stuff to talk about that. Tons of tongue in cheek things that an adult would see in that where a child wouldn't. So it's almost like it's like a Bugs Bunny cartoon. You know, where two different levels. You know, one for the kid, one for the adult. They both can watch the same cartoon and go get something out of it. You know, so it's very clever.
Subtle.
Yeah, subtle, clever, and I love Joel's too. Joel's take on it with the lobster. It's because Pin Mania had their lobster, which was great, but he kind of set it up a notch with putting all these different pinball parts in there, EM parts, all these linkages and so forth, and just really clever how he incorporated it all into that fantastic poster and the glasses.
Well, I'm gonna look for you when we let everybody know that. We've got a new episode of our podcast that you attach a couple of pictures when we do the announcement. This would be a good one showing, Joel's artwork, if you would.
Here we go.
Hey, you're back. I'm back. The internet gods like us. We must be in Sturbridge.
I don't know. My internet's nice and strong here.
No, I have strong too, but maybe we're exceeding the limit. I don't know. Do we talk too much? Probably.
Probably, but hey, that's what it's about.
So, where were we? We were talking about the artwork.
Yes, the artwork. What the number on the lobster means. And
what does the number on the lobster mean?
Yeah, it says WKD-6000. And I'm saying, okay, why? And if an artist puts something on a piece of artwork, it means something. You don't just put random things on there. Everything has a purpose. So I'm trying to figure out, what does that code mean? Is it his address or something, or initials for somebody he knows? And I messaged him while we're on the phone. It says, oh, no, look at it again. It says Wicked Good. It's like, oh, WKD, Wicked, and 600D.
Oh, okay, the calculator. Good. Playing with the calculator numbers to make it look like letters.
Yeah.
I'm sure you did. Very cool. I'm sure you did that as a kid, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I'm not the only geek here.
Oh, no.
Okay, I think we're exceeding our time. I'm going to try to bring this show in under an hour, and the reason why is because I want to go hit the treehouse and have some beer. So with that said, Dave, would you like to sign out?
Yeah, let's sign out. Another show in the can, and can't wait for the next one. We have a lot more games to talk about and a lot more names to drop.
Do you want to tease the next episode?
Next episode, let's see. How should I tease it? All right, let's say it. How about the initials QS?
We're going to do a little Quicksilver.
That's right.
Yeah, I think it'll make a good show. Look for our next episode probably a little over a week. We're going to try to do it, Sunday, Monday time frames. And our next episode, we're going to do a deep dive on Quicksilver. So with that said, Dave, say goodnight.
Good night and peace.
And I'm going to say be good and be well. And this is episode 3 in the can. Everybody be well. Happy 4th of July to all and our military. We'll see you in a little over a week. Good night.
Happy 4th. Happy 4th, guys.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.